This is an ABC podcast. Can you be more Pacific? On ABC Radio Australia.
Whakalofaleatu and welcome to Can You Be More Pacific? I'm Dean Halatau, and as always, I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Sarah Nangama.
Bula Dean, and kia ora to all of our Cook Island listeners who are celebrating Constitution Day today. We are standing with you. We've got a lot coming up in the next hour. We take a look back at the weekend in sport. We catch up with ABC commentator and our very own Brett Spriggs, and we have a new question for our favourite segment, You Can Ask That. Plenty to get through, as always, Dean, but first, how has your week been?
Week's been, you know, like there's so much going on in rugby league at the moment, like, and not always positive, but the office has been like a hive of activity. So everyone's sort of been on edge, and every time something happens, everyone gets a bit nervous and a bit tense, but then something else happens. So we have to move on to the next thing. It's rugby league at the moment. So that's all right. But friend of mine celebrated, I had a 40th the other week, I had a 30th this week. And it just reminds me of how old I am. I'm surrounded by old people.
Meanwhile, I just celebrated my 27th. Yeah, okay. So you're not fully surrounded by old people.
Not fully, no.
Not fully.
No. How's your week been?
Yeah, it's been pretty hectic. Earlier this week, the Wallaroos named their test squad to face the Black Ferns, which I am thankfully a part of, which was really cool. And last week, it was my birthday, so there was a lot of celebrations. And, yeah, you know, you kind of can still hear it, but I'm getting through it. Oh, I love that.
Well done, Sarah.
Thank you. That's really nice. But other than that, I'm getting absolutely flogged at training at the moment.
Why is training ramped up? I know you've got test matches and World Cup and all that.
Basically
on the horizon.
Yeah, so we've just been building our Ks in the lead up to Laura O'Reilly. So we've got two. We've had, last week was humongous. I think we did about 11K throughout training. This weekend we're meant to go up to about 13, 14K.
How good is it when they say, we're just going to start building up our Ks?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm like, shove your Ks where the sun don't shine. but my legs are just so cooked. But I know that next week's going to be a little bit lighter and then we'll ramp things up. So, yeah, I guess it's cool to be part of the 32, but the next challenge is making a game day 23. So watch this space.
We will watch this space and well done again.
Now, thank you.
The Commonwealth Games obviously are taking place in Birmingham at the moment. And our top story for this week centres around that.
Yes, it does. Eileen Vickamatana, she becomes the first woman to win Commonwealth gold in two countries. So she first competed for Fiji a few years back, and then this year she represented Australia at the Commonwealth Games and secured another gold.
That's unbelievable. So, well, it's great to be able to represent. Obviously, she's very, very good at weightlifting and she's won two golds, but to be able to represent two countries, and no doubt she's a proud Fijian and also a proud Australian, it's a pretty big achievement. And weightlifting is a tough sport for her to go over and win another gold after winning gold at Gold Coast is really impressive.
Yeah, it's a huge accomplishment. And also I love it because it's so different from all the sports that you'd normally hear about from the island. So she's absolutely a trailblazer. So a huge, huge congratulations to her and for also making history in the way that she has.
Yeah, certainly. And now on other results in the Commonwealth Games, our Pacific nations are competing, as we've spoken about in the past. Samoa is up to one gold and three silver. Their gold medal, the first that was won at this 2022 Olympic Games, was by Don Opelonge. He's 23 years old and he competed in the men's 96 kilogram class, 171 kilos snatch, which is a games record. That is a lot of weight to throw above your head. So well done to Don. Also clean and jerk 210. Total was 381 kilos. That's like a lot of weight.
That is a lot of weight. I mean, I empathize with this guy, like just carrying the weight of the team, you know?
I like that. That's good. Carrying the weight of the team. Another person carrying the weight of the team in the 67 kilos men's class is Vaipava Nevoawane. He snatched 127 kilos, clean and jerk 166, total of 293. 67 kilos and snatching 127, that is ridiculous.
That's double. Is that double his weight? 167.
Just about.
120, yeah, 134.
Sorry, maths.
Just about, yeah. Awkward if those numbers aren't correct. That's huge. Yeah, that's really huge and such strong results, particularly in the weightlifting arena. Turning our attention to Fiji, they have secured two silver medals and one bronze. Their first silver came in the like of the women's rugby sevens who played Australia in the gold medal match and unfortunately fell short 22-12. They did play Australia earlier in their pool games and won, so they were in good stead to secure the match, but unfortunately they fell short. Our men played South Africa in the gold medal match and they fell short 31-7, which is hugely shocking.
That is a shock. 31-7 is a big loss for Fiji, and we thought they
in a gold medal match as well.
This is like their wheelhouse, right?
Yes.
Sevens rugby for Fiji. So disappointing that that they lost that.
Yeah, it was really unfortunate. What was also unfortunate is Samu Karevi, who was named part of the Aussie side to represent at the Commonwealth Games, had a knee injury, which has ruled him out for the rest of the 2022 season. Super unfortunate because rugby championships were coming up as well, and Dave Rennie has definitely favoured Karevi. So it's unfortunate, but hopefully he'll make a speedy recovery.
Yeah, that sucks for Samu. We spoke to him and he was so excited about going over to represent and going to a Commonwealth Games. Would have been pretty cool. So hopefully, he bounces back well after this injury, and we wish him all the best in his recovery.
Well said. And the bronze medal for Fiji came from Taniela Tuisava Ranimbongi, who competed also in weightlifting in the men's 96 kilo. He snatched 155, clean and jerked 188 with a total of 343 kilograms. That's incredible. 3 kilos off a silver medal.
So close. It always comes down to like a few kilos, doesn't it, in the weightlifting?
It's crazy.
Well, someone's got to win, so
yeah, that's what I was going to say, because in a race, it's the seconds.
Yeah, good work, Dean.
You're killing it today.
Staying with Fiji and more positive news, the men's swim team qualified for the 4x100 final, which they placed eighth in. And what's really special about this is the first time that Fiji have qualified for a final in the 4x100 at a Commonwealth Games. So despite not placing and getting a medal, massive achievement to be there in the final.
Yeah, history-making moment from Fiji, and no doubt they'll take this experience under the belt and hopefully go one better in the next competition.
Fingers crossed for that. Now, PNG, they've managed to grab one silver at these Comm Games. It's in the men's 61 kilos weightlifting, Maria Baru, and he snatched 118 kilos, clean and jerk 152, total of 273 kilograms. So actually the Pacific Nations are doing really well in the weightlifting at the moment, dominating. That's where most of those medals have come from, and it's great to see them competing well on that on the world stage.
Yeah, well said. Huge wrap-up of how the islands are faring right now at the Commonwealth Games. There's still a week to go, so no doubt we'll have more results to cover next week.
We will. Now, over to the round ball, football, soccer, whatever you want to call it.
Can't call it soccer, they call it football.
I know, we've spoken about this.
Yeah, we have, extensively.
I'm calling it soccer because we play.
That's how we've grown up with it.
We play footy.
Yeah.
The OFC Women's Nations Cup has concluded, and PNG defeated Fiji 2-1 in the final, and they'll progress through.
Yeah, this is super exciting. So what this does mean for PNG is that they will head off to the Women's World Cup playoff tournament next February. So it's been a long process. As we know, I feel like we've been covering this tournament for a fair bit of time, but all the smaller nations had to compete to be able to qualify for the next level of the tournament. So a huge, huge result for Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, massive result. And the Solomon Islands took on Samoa, and Solomon Islands finished, they defeated Samoa, I should say, to finish third, which is huge for the Solomon Islands. Samoa was actually going okay in their tournament, so well done to them.
Yes, huge result. Over to the NRL and bringing it back to grassroots footy, the Silktails took on the Ryde Eastwood Hawks on the weekend and absolutely thrashed them 52-12.
Their biggest win of the season in the Romassie Cup. So it's been a bit of a messed around year, I'd say. So the Silktails have got to replay their round four match this weekend, which sounds weird. They've played 18 rounds already. Sorry, well, there's 18 rounds of the competition gone, but they've got a make-up game this weekend, round four, which is against Mounties this week at Mascot Oval. So hopefully they can finish this season strong with a good win again.
Yes, their coach, a.k.a. my roommate, is feeling very enthusiastic about his boys, and he reckons if they can put a number on the Mounties this weekend, they'll be in good stead for finals. And last but not least, round 20 of the NRL comp.
Yes, and last Thursday night it was Manly up against the Sydney Roosters out at Brookvale Oval, which was a little bit of a tense around this match. Roosters managed to get the job. It wasn't the best game. The Roosters scrapped their way to a 20-10 victory. There were tries to Daniel Tupou and Joseph Manu.
Within 9 metres of the goal line, Davey there makes the tackle on Radley. Plays the ball to Verrills. Comes to the right to Keary. Cut out ball now from Walker away. Tedesco to Manu. Steps in field. Beats one. Can he get to the goal line, Joey Manu? I think he did. And referee Grant Atkins says try to the Roosters.
So, as I said, it wasn't a great match. It was a scrappy one, but I want to pay a special mention to Alfred Smaller, who made his debut on the wing for Manly. He's actually Niuean, so I was like, yeah, stoked to see him on
the
field.
Family.
Yeah, and he had a pretty strong game in his debut match. That was one good thing, I think, for Manly that week, is that they got the opportunity for a lot of young guys to debut, and Jake Djibojevic spoke about it after the game about how they were disappointed with the loss. It was a tough week, but it was so nice to see some players get their chance to play first grade. So I thought that was a really, really good thing. Now, the Eels took on the Panthers, and this was a huge match, a battle of the West. It was the only team that's beaten the Panthers this year previously had been the Eels. They did it again, 34-10. Now, what made big news from the match was Nathan Cleary got sent off early in the game for a spear tackle. Right call. He's subsequently been suspended for 5 weeks. So big, big
huge no-no. Loss.
Yeah, from your man, Nathan Cleary.
Love you still.
There were plenty of tries from Pacifica players in the match. Isaiah Papali'i got one, and then Mike Acevo grabbed two, and this is how his first one went.
Papali'i will play it to Marnie. Spins it centre field left to Madison. Out the back to Moses. Can they create the overlap round? Long cutout pass to Mike Acevo. Acevo is over. He scored. What a pass that was from Brown. This is electrifying.
Huge result from Mike Acevo.
That crowd sounded enormous. I don't know if they have like crowd noise layered over the crowd at
is that a thing
at Western Sydney Stadium? Yeah, there's some they used to do it during the lockdown because there wasn't big crowds.
Right. Yes.
So they had manufactured sounds. Not the we don't do that.
Not the ABC because we're authentic.
They do it in the stadium.
Yes.
So they were doing it in the stadium, but it was such an awesome atmosphere you could hear there.
He's such Mike Acevo in particular is in such good form after coming back from injury.
Yeah, he's scoring tries that easy. I'm sure it's not that easy, but he just...
Minion, we know a thing or two about scoring one try every 5 years. And the last fixture of the round.
Yeah, the Sharks 21 defeated the Rabbitohs 20. This was a bit of a thriller goes into Golden Point. I actually live not far from Shark Park. And
you could hear this one?
Well, I can always hear when there's a game on the music and the crowd and that. And I was watching it on my iPad at home because I got banished to my room to watch the footy. Anyway, but I could hear whenever anything happened, I could hear it before I seen it on the iPad. Yeah, so I was getting really excited. I go, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And Ronaldo Mulitalo scored a try, and it went a little like this.
Seven out from the line. Great defensive set from South, but there's one tackle left for the Sharks. Played to Brayley. Comes left to Moylan with a cross-field kick. It's well weighted. Flying through the air and coming down spectacularly is Ronaldo Mulitalo. I tell you what, around Australia at the moment, flights are being delayed all over the place. Ronaldo was right on time. Cronulla hits the front.
How good is that?
Yeah, very good and great call, Andrew Moore, as always. Now, as I mentioned, it went down to the wire in Golden Point. This is not the first time that Nico Hines has come up clutch for the Sharks, but it was a pretty impressive way to finish the game.
12 metres out. Nico Hines set deep. Hines from 20. A snap. He strikes it. He likes it. He kicks it. He wins it. Takes it with his first opportunity. 2 minutes 53 to go in extra time. An 88-minute match winner. Cronulla Sutherland at home has beaten South Sydney 21 points to 20.
That's crazy.
Sharks. Sharks forever.
But also, I really feel for Latrell. Had three opportunities, didn't slot one.
He usually ices them.
Absolutely.
Well. He's such a good field goal kicker, but yeah, just couldn't get the clean one away. Nico Hines, he's become quickly become a shy favourite. Everyone loves him, and he's pretty good guy by all reports. So well done, Nico, and well done the Sharks. Now, don't forget, you can hear every game live on Radio Australia.
Talanoa time on Can You Be More Pacific?
We're very lucky this week to be joined by one of the ABC's great callers on NRL, AFL, covers all sorts of sport, and I'm lucky to work with him on the weekend. Brett Sprigg, welcome to Can You Be More Pacific.
Dino, Sarah, thank you. Long-time listener, first-time panellist or guest.
Guest,
welcome.
Yes. Yeah. Mate, it's great to have you on, and you've answered the call. You've come to chat all things sport. We'll get into a little bit about yourself. Tell us what you do. I mentioned your call for the ABC, but tell us about your sporting background.
Yeah, mate, so I spent my first 30 years in a small town on the West Coast called Perth, and that's where I sort of cut my teeth in sport and in broadcasting, but my background is mostly in Aussie rules, as you mentioned, Dino. That's sort of how I came through. I loved playing cricket as well growing up, cricket, soccer, Aussie rules, bit of basketball.
Bit of an all-rounder we have here.
I get, but not particularly good, right?
Jack of all trades, master of many.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll have a go at anything. So, you know, I sort of, yeah, came through loving sport, as I think is a prerequisite for this sort of job. You know, joined the ABC as a producer about 11, 12 years ago now, and have been lucky enough to sort of, you know, get to go on air and do my thing. I've been in Sydney for now, this is my fourth footy season. So, yeah, lucky enough to work with people like yourself, Dean. And, yeah, it's a varied sort of background, but I enjoy a bit of everything.
How did you go? Look, obviously, you say you grew up with Aussie rules. That was your main sport. But now you're calling rugby league and you've had to learn the game pretty quickly. How did you go transitioning across to this game?
Yeah, it's a funny one. The biggest difference is the energy, right? So you only have one play-by-play caller in rugby league. And I see the way that guys like Andrew Moore go about it. In AFL, we have two play-by-play callers which sort of share the action. So you have time to have a bit of a breather and whatever else. So just matching the tempo of a game of league, particularly as the game has become so fast, even in the past few years, has been a really challenging thing, but I really enjoyed that, you know, and you really just sort of get yourself up for it and try to match the energy of the game, and having the crowd behind you is always nice as well. But I guess just sort of listening to guys like yourself, to John Gibbs, to Ruwan Sims, people that have been really good educators in the sport for me. And, you know, there are times when in a game where something rare might happen, like maybe a rule that's not usually, you know, called maybe once a season or something happens, and I'm a bit confused, and people are happy to sort of dive in and sort of in a not so obvious way just sort of guide me in the right direction. That does happen. It happens in AFL too. For even for a sport that I grew up watching, sometimes things happen and you go, what was that? But you know, it's just being open to the learning experience, and I've really enjoyed my foray into league the past few years.
Looking at the sports that you cover, which has to be one of the most challenging for you?
I tell you what, I love the games events. So obviously the Commonwealth Games are on right now. I was lucky enough to do the 2018 Commonwealth Games. And that's a really crazy experience because you're in like a broadcasting centre. A lot of our sports are done at the venues during games events, but most of the time you're in like the International Broadcast Centre, and you'll have the various sports on different screens, right? And you might have one of your bosses say to you, okay, we're a medal chance in the shooting. And on the run, all of a sudden, you're picking up the rules. It's like
no way.
At hyper speed and trying to figure out, okay, where's the Aussie? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. And sort of contextualizing, you know, that achievement for the Australian audience or whatever it is, and trying to figure out the little stories that go into that. So that can be anything. Like, that's where I first did rugby sevens, you know, at Comm Games. It's like, you know, we had all the games on the screen. And it's like, okay, now we're going to call this game, now this game, now this game. And that's just absolutely wild, trying to pick up the players on the run. But I think those are the really challenging, but also the funnest things. Because if you can come out of it saying, hey, I'm an expert in the diving, you know, like, for example, like I did some diving gold medals during that 2018 Comm Games. And I was like, ever since now I watch the diving and I'm like, oh, this is my jam. Like, oh, this
I know exactly how this works. Yeah, I know exactly how the scoring works.
So I guess that's the fun thing. The day-to-day sports, like the footy and cricket and everything else, I try and enjoy it more because I guess my knowledge is a bit more established. But the funnest thing for a broadcaster is challenging yourself on the run, for sure.
Do they give you like a cheat sheet or something? Like,
yeah.
Like have like,
I'm so intrigued.
Here's all the terminology you can use in this sport and bang, bang, bang.
Often with those sort of those minor or you know, less mainstream sports, it's up to you just to figure out how the rules work. Not only how the rules work, but how the specific games format is, because sometimes for an Olympics or Commonwealth Games, the format is reduced even still, you know? So that is the really fun and exciting thing. But yeah, when you get through that and survive that, you feel like, oh, I could do anything. I still reckon there's one thing I couldn't do, and that's call horse racing. I think horse racing, race callers are a different skill unto themselves, and I wouldn't even attempt that. Every Melbourne Cup day, when everyone's having fun, I get nervous for the race caller because I just feel like that huge 24 horse field, the opportunity for error is so great. I don't know how people do that.
Everyone's listening.
Yeah. Everyone.
Yeah.
It's the race that stops the nation.
Yeah. So that's the one thing. But I was lucky enough, like on the Pacific front, like I did, I was lucky enough to do the AFL a few weeks ago. That was Ace Hoyer's debut. I know you spoke to him recently again. Yeah, and that was a really cool thing. And I think my background in sort of learning about you know, certain cultural things in rugby league sort of helped, you know, that day, because I was like, it's not often you see a Papua New Guinean player in the AFL.
Yeah.
So I was really rapt that little cultural crossover happened, and I was doing an AFL game with a player from PNG. It was great.
It's crazy because we watch sport, right? And as a spectator, you just watch what's happening in front of you. And then if you're a player, you're obviously playing there. But then going into the mind of like a broadcaster and all the things that come with it, what's preparation like for you? Particularly because you're not just one sport. Like you cover multiple sports.
Yeah, it's funny. Like I still do all my notes handwritten, which is getting harder and harder to keep up with because if I'm doing three or four games across a weekend, it's you're spending a lot of time just writing things down. But I find that my brain remembers things better
when
I write it down. Guys like Andrew Moore, you know, he's an absolute pro. Like, you know, he can sort of have his match day program and just go. And that's a skill unto itself. But for me, I find I have to write things down still. And little tidbits as well, because in those gaps where maybe you're not so sure what's happening or if there's something, I'll try and revert back to a little bit on each player. So I might just have a little note about, you know, the team they transferred from last year, or they did their knee last year, or they played in the premiership 5 years ago, just something like that. But generally, it's your main tools are your eyes, your binoculars. I'm still very binoculars heavy because it's an AFL thing because the ground's bigger. I tend to use binocs, as Dino would know. I use them probably a bit more than most rugby league callers. It's just your brain and binoculars and that, and try to survive for most of the game on that.
Just on the binoculars, we had a game at Shark Park a little while ago.
I see a head go back here.
So I was calling alongside Spriggy, and the game was about to kick off, and he's looked down for his binoculars, and he could not find them, and he's looking through his bag.
Oh no!
There's this immediate panic on his face, and I didn't quite catch what was going on at first, but I'm thinking, well, something's gone wrong with Spriggy. I hope he's okay. And how was that feeling for you not having your binoculars?
Honestly, I felt sick because I've never actually called like a field sport. Apart from off tube, obviously, I've never actually called a game at the ground without binoculars, or until that point, right? And then get to Shark Park, realise that my binocs are in the backseat of my car, and the car park at Shark Park at the moment is like
the school across the road,
the binocs away,
so I can't get there. And I'm going, how do I? Okay, like, and I see Andrew do it all the time, like call large chunks of play without the binoculars. So I'm just gonna have to do it. And to be fair, Shark Park, good vantage point. So I survived the game without any real dramas. But you're right, that look of panic, and I can look panicked at the best of times, but that day, or that night, I was a little bit concerned, but we got through it.
And so were you nervous at any point?
Well, yeah, like, but then I realised, I don't know, just the way.
Do you think it's a comfort thing, though?
It is a comfort thing, 100%. So I'm looking around
it's
going,
like me and my puffer when
there.
I go on the field. Right. I'm not going on the field without my puffer.
No, exactly.
You're
right?
Not going into the box without your binocs.
Yeah, so I just didn't have them, and I felt so panicked. But once the game kicked off, you just have to focus on, that's the same thing I approach any sport I haven't called before or whatever. If you just got to throw yourself into it, right? And I was like, okay, no binoculars, but I'll just do what everyone else does, and I survived. Of course I did. It was just one of those little things where it was a safety net I needed to, and I still have with me every game now. But that was a
have you watched the movie Like Mike?
Yeah.
And he gets Michael Jordan shoes.
Yeah.
And then he was like, I can't play without the Michael Jordan shoes. And then one game he like forgets them, but then he does like this mad slam dunk, and then he realizes it's not the shoes, it's him. So it's not the binocs, it's always been in you.
Well, that's weird, because Michael Jordan
himself.
What a great
teaching moment.
Oh my God, this is just a moment. I need to see the correlation here.
Michael Jordan himself couldn't play without his college shorts underneath his NBA shorts. So I don't know, if maybe that's a lesson he could have learned as well.
Honestly, Michael Jordan should listen to us more often.
Now, Spriggy, a couple of months ago, Rep Weekend, you got the opportunity to call the Pacific Test at Campbelltown Stadium, and something that you mentioned before about the connection that rugby league has to the Pacific in terms of players representing and the game itself on the international stage. Must have been a good experience doing that.
That was huge for me, honestly, Dean, because I've never been exposed to something like that. I hear you guys talk about it. I've been to a Bledisloe Cup game here in Sydney, because back in Perth, whenever you used to get New Zealand come to visit, it was always like South Africa or someone. So I hadn't seen a haka until I saw that Bledisloe Cup a few years ago. And then seeing each of the pre-match rituals, you know, the Fijian hymn, everything else, Cook Islands did a war dance or a haka as well. It was just such a new experience for me. And for a guy who's only really been exposed over the first 30 years of his life to Aussie rules, we don't have that, you know? So that was such a cool thing, Dana. And, you know, I was lost for words, like before kickoff, just going like, what have I just seen? And then, you know, at the end of that Fiji-PNG game where they all link arms and did that hymn together, I was like, this is just, it's so powerful, you know?
I love
it was such a cool thing. Like, I came into it and everyone said, oh, it's going to be really cool and you'll see this and that. And I was like, yeah, I'm sure it'll be great fun, like good atmosphere, good crowd. But it was just everything on that field before kickoff of each of those games was just really, really cool. So I was so grateful to be a part of that and share that with you. And I can't wait for, well, hopefully some more international footy in the coming years, although that's another conversation, I suppose, as far as those rep weekends.
We've noticed that if you say things, you speak to the ABC gods, they somehow hear it and then it comes to fruition. Yeah. Talking about Fiji, I might be going Fiji at the end of the month, end of the year, sorry.
World Cup. Yep.
That'll be cool. Even just watching it from here, it'll be really cool to see, you know, a lot of that stuff again. It was just such a new experience for a guy like me who hasn't been exposed to those cultural things. And it just reminds me of how rich rugby league is with that culture and that heritage.
Well said. Well said. Forward looking, if you could commentate any game across any code, if you got one event, you'll be granted it. What would it be?
Or probably like 100 meters. Athletics final.
Oh, that's a great one.
That is a blue ribbon event. Like, again, and I think like even like human racing, much less horse racing, that is a very strict, disciplined thing to have to call. It'd be a very good broadcaster to call. I've been lucky enough to do an AFL grand final. I've done test cricket. Like, those are two things I never thought I'd get the chance to do. International rugby league was another career highlight. Women's origin during this year was another really cool thing. So I've ticked a lot of boxes. I've been fortunate enough to sort of have these things fall in my lap a little bit. I love those games events. And as I say, it's topical this week because the Commonwealth Games going on. That 100 metres final as one of those big blue ribbon events would be a great thing to experience.
It's hardly a long effort, but is it?
10 seconds.
Yeah.
And that's, again, the margin to get it just right. And we talk about in our business, we talk about word economy. And when you're commentating, it's just like using the right amount of words and not sort of like mumbling or speaking too quickly or too slowly. It's like that is the perfect exercise in word economy. And George Grilicic, who called the 88 Seoul Olympics, did that 100 meter dash for the ABC. His call of that is just expert. He doesn't waste a word. He mentions where every athlete is and just nails the finish. And again, I don't think I could do it now, but looking far off into the future, it'd be a great thing to experience.
Well, it's out there now, so hopefully you get that opportunity. Was it Carl Lewis that won 88?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
It's up there with the ABC gods. You never know what's going to
exactly
happen now.
Right, yeah.
Well, it's been such a treat for us to catch up with you, Spree. Before we let you leave, we have this segment called Tip On, where it's basically 60 seconds of rapid-fire questions. Would you be down to play?
Okay, yeah.
Great, because you have no option.
Okay.
And the clock is on. What have you been reading, watching, or listening to lately?
Louis Theroux's latest book and watching Netflix, the D.B. Cooper documentary.
Who was your most annoying colleague?
Oh, Luke Lewis.
Who was your sporting hero?
Peter Sumich, the old full forward for the West Coast Eagles back in the day.
What would be your wrestler entrance song?
Ooh, I used to love these songs. Probably like, there's a song called, anything hip hop.
Anything hip hop. My guy. What was your favorite movie as a kid?
Big Daddy, Adam Sandler.
What's something you could eat for a month straight?
Pasta.
Favorite place you've traveled to?
Italy. Topical.
Do you have a hidden talent?
No real talents.
Who would play you in the movie of your life?
Frankie Muniz from Malcolm in the Middle. I used to get that a lot when I was a kid. So.
Yes, I see it.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how good are you at keeping secrets?
Terrible.
Oh. We've run out of time.
Last week, Luke Lewis called me just quickly and he said, I want you to ring Andrew Moore and tell him that you've seen me at Hunter Stadium. He was supposed to be at Cogra for the later game. Call Andrew Moore, tell him I'm on the wrong ground. Why is Luke Lewis there? Is there a roster mix-up, blah, 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 and G him up and make him think I'm going to miss the game. And I was like, I just can't play tricks on people. I hate keeping secrets. I hate telling fibs.
Oh, my
blah, blah,
God.
Blah. I did, but I felt sick straight away. I actually called Andrew after 5 minutes and said, is the G up over? He goes, what do you mean? I was like, did Louis tell you? Because I couldn't let the joke go any longer. I can't tell secrets or play jokes on people, so... I'm an honest person.
I love that. Honest man.
Oh, well, Spriggy, mate, it's been great to have you on the show, as Sarah said, and we'll catch up again soon sometime.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
That was Brett Sprigg, ABC commentator. You can hear him every weekend calling either Rugby League or AFL.
You can ask that. Your chance to ask what it's really like to be an elite athlete on Can You Be More Pacific?
Well, 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 we're back with another question for our favourite segment, You Can Ask That. This is more of a question that I have brought to the table, which I'm very keen to hear your thoughts on, Dean Halitau.
Shoot.
So, making news this week is 7-time Formula One world champion Lewis Hamilton has joined the ownership group in the NFL Denver Broncos. Now, this whole deal altogether is reportedly worth $4.65 billion.
That's a lot of money for a sports team.
Honestly, so much money. It's a record for an American sports franchise, to be quite clear. So my question to you is, if you had the same amount of wealth, what sport would you want to buy into? Or what team?
I'm a little bit biased by the fact that I'm a league person, so I'd buy a league team. I'd buy the Tigers and not try and turn them around because I don't want to denigrate the Tigers. But I'd buy the Tigers. I'd love to own a rugby league club.
And why the Tigers?
Because I love them. It's my club.
And it's as simple as that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. But I like that he's bought into the never, like NFL's such a big sport, right? And it's well followed. The only thing, how do you value something that much when it's a 17-week competition, the NFL? Like, it's such a small part of the year. It's a big competition. It's one of the biggest in the world. But it's so, I don't know, it's such a short period in the year. How do you just, like, say, I'm going to throw this much money for 4 months of sport?
To go sit in the box and have change room access.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
You know? Crazy.
I'd buy the Olympics.
You'd buy the Olympics, okay?
Can you do
now
that?
Now you're talking. Now, like that. That's the kind of chat I'm heading for.
What are you going to buy?
Me?
Yeah.
I want two teams.
Two teams?
Yes. Penrith Panthers and Parramatta Eels.
One step closer to Nathan. Buy the club.
Buy the club, and then I want my change room locker to be next to Nathan's.
So what was the other team that you had?
Parramatta Eels.
Oh, you're going to buy the Western Sydney team?
I'm going to buy Western Sydney.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the queen of Western Sydney. I'm building a dynasty out there. Those would be my teams because they're the coolest, the funkiest, and they're most promising.
They're bitter rivals, Penrith and Parramatta. How do you blend that as an owner?
Don't you know what they call me in the streets? They call me the answer.
The answer.
I will be the answer. I will bring these clubs together and we'll make the West even more formidable.
And I'll have the West Tigers, so.
Yeah, also, on that, why don't you want to take the Bulldogs? You played for the Bulldogs too.
Well, I've got to pick one, so I picked the Tigers first. I think I can do more good there.
Yeah.
The Bulldogs are pretty sweet for, like, resources and support and all
that's
that.
That's true, particularly this season.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm helping out the lesser of the two.
Can't say that's my approach.
Anyway, if I had the – can you own the Olympics?
Yeah, you can. In we're speaking hypothetically here, so if you wanted to own the Olympics, so be it.
It's the best, like it's like one of the best times every 4 years, obviously. But like, how good is Olympics? You'll get excited. You turn the TV on. You watch constantly. It's such a great international event. It'd be great to own that.
It's such a multifaceted event.
This has taken a weird turn.
This really has, and I actually am really enjoying this. So, if anyone actually wants to send a question of substance. Please, please, please hit us up on our Instagram. My handle is at Serenegama.
And mine's at Dean Halitau.
Can you be more Pacific? On ABC Radio Australia.
Oh my God.
Yo, it's Sarah and Dean talking all things sport across the Pacific.
Don't go anywhere. We've still got our favourite socials and we tackle the tough headlines in the ruck.
Pacific, keeping it social.
Well, this has to be one of the best moments of the week because we get to talk about all the things that we find on the internet.
Yes, social media.
Social media.
You love social media, don't you? Do you like waste a lot of time during the week on it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's no denying it.
Go down rabbit holes and just go, oh, what's this, next.
You know what's been getting me lately? Reels.
Reels, yeah.
Yeah. And did you know,
Reels. I know what it is.
Oh, you do? Egghead. But Reels, because Instagram has recently changed its algorithm. I don't know if you've noticed, but sometimes now if you post stuff on your story, you don't get as many views. And then sometimes you post something and like you don't get as many likes. And the key to it is you have to post more consistently to have more engagement. Because otherwise you fall to the bottom of the list and then people don't see it.
I'm just writing this down.
Yeah, take note.
Yeah.
take note because, look, I'm just saying, following's growing quite organically, but I don't understand why the engagement's so low.
Okay.
So there's a bit of gospel there for you for social media today.
Thank you for the lesson.
So post consistently for more engagement.
I probably won't apply it, but thank you.
Yeah.
What's your social this week, Sarah?
Waste my breath. My social this week comes, it's plural, my social this week comes from the NRL roast. There was some footage put up of Cooper Johns, the Budgie Crew, and also the Cheese going back and forth with some horrendous jokes.
So my mate, he's an octopus. He had kids the other day. Twins. They're identical.
What happens when you hit Dwayne Johnson's butt? You hit rock bottom.
That joke is rock
so
bottom.
She's laughing.
Did you hear about the scarecrow that just got nominated for an award? Apparently he was outstanding in his field.
Look, horrendous jokes, but I just love seeing the dryness go back and forth.
Yeah. Have you like, I've gone onto Instagram before and, like, there's, like, these dad jokes.
I love them.
They're so funny.
They're so funny.
Like, the jokes are so dry, but you just
can't help but laugh.
Because they can't help
they're
but laugh.
They're tried and true.
Yeah, very well done.
Very well done. Thank you very much, Hullers.
Good pick.
What did you find this week?
I went to Twitter.
Twitter? Since when? When did you even download that app?
Do you use Twitter?
I'm not really active on it, though.
No.
I don't know how to use it well.
Okay.
Anywho, tell me about it.
I'm a master at Twitter, just in case you want some.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyway, I went Sydney Water,
Yes.
They look after our water systems. They made a little bit of a dig at the West Tigers. It's a tweet they put out there, and they said, we remove around 500 tonnes of wet wipes from our wastewater system every year. And they followed that up with, that means we've removed around 5,497,826 tonnes of wet wipes since the last time the West Tigers played finals footy. Slap in the face of the West Tigers.
Like, what did West Tigers do? They, like, Sydney Water really chose violence this week on Twitter.
They did. And firstly, that's a bad number. That's bad maths from them, because West Tigers played in 2011. And if you add that up, it doesn't work out to that many tons. But anyway, it's a bit of a crack. I don't know why the Sydney Water, this, you know, people that supply us with water, decided to attack the West Tigers.
Yeah, we don't know why. Yeah. Did they respond? Did the West Tigers respond?
I haven't seen anything from the West Tigers back, no. Oh. They just copped it.
They copped it.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good from Sydney Water. Reminds me of Woolies. You know how they always go back and forth with their customers on the comment forums?
Yes, they do, yeah.
I love that kind of banter.
In the Ruck. Tackling the tough headlines in sport on Can You Be More Pacific?
Making some news this week. The Manly jersey situation was big for, you know, a number of days leading into the game, but there was reports of a rift amongst the group. Obviously, players standing fast in their beliefs, other players wanting them to play and you know, support their teammates on the field as well. So it was a pretty back and forth week, I think, for them. And they held an emergency team meeting on the weekend, or the previous last Sunday, to try and you know, mend their relationships and build some bridges.
Yes, included in this breakfast meeting was Josh Aloi and Jake Chaboyevic, Lachlan Croker, and another team member who they haven't disclosed. And basically the purpose of this meeting was to try and find, not necessarily common ground, but an understanding as to why these players had done what they did. And it's a pretty tough thing, right? Because you're trying to find understanding for two sides of a group that don't necessarily get or understand the other. So do you think, this is my question to you, do you think it was beneficial for them to have this meeting?
I think they needed to. Like, if they're going to sit there and not say anything and it's all unspoken and they just carry on, but there's that underlying tension, well, as a team, they're really not going to get past it. It's just going to sit there. And I think it'll go, if it goes unresolved as a group, they start playing poor football. They don't do their job well. And yeah, I reckon some friendships probably get broken.
Yes, but now that the situation has already played out, do you think this has affected some friendships already within the group?
Yeah, I think no doubt. I think that's why they held this meeting, to try and stop that from getting any worse than what it has, and hopefully they get on the same page and in terms of what they're together for. And I've got no doubt that they all still like each other, and they all still, you know, they don't maybe meet eye to eye on certain things, but there's a reason why they're there, is to play football together, and they've had success. It seemed like a good group, that they're all on the same page previous to this. So there's no reason why they can't get back to that, I don't think. But off the back of that, their incoming CEO has also said that he wouldn't mind the club looking at employing a dedicated staff member to look after Pacifica players. They've got a really big cohort of Pacifica players, and he thinks that having a dedicated staff member is going to be really beneficial to the group. I should say as well that through this whole thing that's happened with Manly, it keeps getting brought up that because of their religious and cultural beliefs, I think people need to, that like, you know yourself, Sarah, in Pacifica communities, religion is really intertwined into culture. Yeah. It's a real strong part of a lot of Pacifica communities, but there's also no belief system that supports, like, to my knowledge, in Pacifica culture, there isn't a belief system that takes the view that religion takes on this. So I think people need to sort of delineate between that. It's not a cultural issue. I believe it's a religious issue, and that's not denigrating religion at all either. I'm just saying that you can't throw them all in together, I don't think, with this argument, because they're different.
Yes.
But I like that the CEO still, you know, recognises that they've got a strong cohort of Pacifica players, and he wants to support that.
Yeah, and I think it's timely, and this previous situation does show us that perhaps having someone there who has a grasp on the cultural knowledge and also the religious grounds that these players stand on will make an absolute difference. And at the end of the day, that's exactly why these players were divided, is because there was a lack of understanding. And so I think it'll be great if they do appoint someone in that position, and moving forward, we can deal with these situations a lot better than what we have.
We certainly can. And I think it's timely to bring up that Andrew Fifita spoke to the team on Grandstand over the weekend, and he mentioned about his aspirations as a when he moves into life after football, and he's floating some ideas with the NRL around a dedicated cultural officer, I think is probably the best term that you could use for it. And he had a chat to the team on the weekend.
I thoroughly believe in what I'm trying to do with the NRL. I haven't sat down with him, but I've come up with a whole, I guess, like I said, I don't want to be like the Wolfie officer. I feel like there's a whole nother role to this, and about connecting with the players, especially with the clubs, and if they find someone who's culturally aware within their players. And I'm not saying just with nationalities, and I'm talking about across all. So everyone knows in a good team, you have to have a real good culture. And I just feel like, you know, we bring in the welfare staff for the whole mental side of things. What about just being a culturally aware? So the person would go around with the team, travel with the team, and if there was any, like, I guess with the Manly Seven, you would understand, those people would know straight away and go, no, we need to, you know, the club could go to them and talk to them about it. I'd have everyone from, like, a leadership group within the groups, from every team, especially with the nationalities, so none of this mishaps happens again. So it'd be really good for, I guess, the game and moving forward. So, look, I'm quite stoked to see what NRL would have to say for it. But at the moment, I mean, you know, doing this and just in the background while playing some footy. So I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, Andrew Fifita absolutely nailed it on the head. And, yeah, it'd be a good chat to see someone being appointed to that role, because, again, that understanding component is something that shouldn't be underestimated.
Yeah, and I think he's thinking more broadly as well. He's not just saying, like, he's going to identify one culture that needs support. He's talking about
Across the board,
everyone. And there are well-being and education officers at every club that support players for anything they need away from the field, and they do a fantastic job. I think this is an add-on to that. There are clubs that have chaplains as well that, you know, that are employed by the club to support players in with their spirituality. So I think this is another add-on to what exists already that could be really beneficial. I guess it comes down to the strength of the program. If he pulls together something really good that he can take to the NRL and to the RLPA to pitch, then I think it could be a real success. And hopefully, you know, he gets that from what he's trying to do.
Yeah, well said. On a lighter note, but still staying with rugby league, New South Wales Rugby League celebrates a new record of female participants in the game, closing out with 23,000 players in the system right now.
Yeah, that's huge. This is in New South Wales alone. So in the New South Wales system, 23,000 female participants. We know that the women's game in rugby league has been going from strength to strength every year. And the more exposure that we get at the top level, so the more we see NRLW players getting an opportunity to show what they can do, and the increase in teams in the competition as well is just going to encourage more and more participants at the grassroots level. And I think it's great that New South Wales Rugby League has achieved this, and it's going to be good to see where they go in the next 5 to 10 years, because I think the game's just going to go bang, 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 just strength to strength.
Yeah, absolutely. Seeing those numbers, like 23,000 in New South Wales alone, is incredible. And I absolutely agree with you. I think the best days of the NRLW are still ahead of us. And dare I say, I think their days of professionalism or reaching full professionalism is much closer than what we think it is.
Yeah, let's hope so. Now, some more headlines in rugby, Sarah.
Yes, Cyrillian Bobo, who was a flying Fijian in his day, has come out and said he believes that a Fijian coach should be involved in the coaching staff of the flying Fijians. As we know, Fiji recently competed in the Pacific Nations Cup, and they didn't take the competition out in the top spot. Manu Samoa did. And I guess his view on it is, we hosted this tournament here on home soil. We're playing in front of our people. It's not necessarily the coaching staff that aren't steering the players in the right direction. It's the players who need someone who's been there, done it before, to be with them on the day-to-day to kind of navigate this season that they're in. And he believes that players have a bit of an attitude problem, and having someone who's been there and done it before can really put them into check. And perhaps a flying Fijian, I should say, who has some skin in this game, has experience, will be the person to be able to do it. I don't know if he's insinuating that he's that person, but he definitely believes that a Fijian coach should be involved in their staff.
Yeah, and we often talk about representation in coaching, administration, not just playing ranks. So I think it'd be a good move in itself just to have a Fijian on the coaching staff to set an example or to create some aspirations for people to go down that path as well. And if that's what he believes is going to help with the attitude of the players in that team also, then it's a double win, right? You create opportunities and pathways, but you also, help the team out.
Yeah, absolutely. And, reading this article that Fiji's son had put up, and it was basically his interview, is that he believes that these players really need to understand the culture, the history and the significance of the white jersey, and also looking forward to Rugby World Cup. They need to be able to perform a lot better. And so, a lot of his points are valid. There was one thing that he said about discipline. He's like, Fijians know Fijians, and only Fijians can psych Fijians up in a way that no one else can. They use tough words, but that's what we do. And I'm like, I don't know if I could act that. But again, as you said, on the note of representation, it's absolutely crucial that we do involve previous players, because they do bring something to the table that's quite different.
I agree, Sarah. Now, other Sanzar news is the 20-minute red card law that has been trialled is going to be reintroduced at the TRC for 2022.
This to me is like super annoying. Like, just choose, just choose what you want the red card to be and let it be consistent throughout every level of the competition. But that being said, it is being reintroduced that the red card law will only, if a ref does pull out a red card, it only means 20 minutes, which means the player can rejoin after that time. So I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, I enjoy it, but I'm just like, if you want to do 20 minutes at TRC, bloody hell, do it at every level of the game.
Yeah.
So it'll be good. I mean, we also know red cards, they change a game immensely.
So do you feel like they're applying the red card well in what they've done so far with it?
I think when the time is reduced, I feel like they give it out even more so, because they know that the penalty is not as hefty, or the game won't be as felt as much.
Yeah.
But yellow card, 10 minutes. Red card, 20 minutes. Make up your damn mind what you want and let it stick.
So send-offs still exist, but?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They still exist. It's just, I just want to see it to be a little bit more consistent. To change it for our tournament doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. But I'm happy to see it, because we saw what happened to the Wallabies when they were a man down. They still won. But it'll be cool for them to know that if they do get a player sent off, they can absolutely regain them.
I'll pay attention, Sansa. Sarah said, just pick it and keep it everywhere.
You heard it here first.
ABC Radio Australia. Can you be more Pacific?
Well, that's all we have time for.
Yes. So if you miss the show, or you just want to listen to the magic again, it'll be replayed on Friday, 2 p.m. PNG time, or you can find all of our episodes on the Radio Australia website or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And if you want more sport, you can check out That Pacific Sports Show on Wednesday night, or catch up on ABC Australia iView. That's all here.
Ma there.
Can You Be More Pacific? An ABC Sport production for ABC Radio Australia.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.